Now on Sports Talk, it's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
Always a pleasure to have another edition of SC Wild from DNR here on Sports Talk. We welcome in the man with the plan. We got football coming up. We got hunting season coming up. We got all kind of great things in the great outdoors of South Carolina to deal with. We welcome in once again Major Billy Downer from the Department of Natural Resources, and he has a very special guest tonight. Good evening, Major.
Yes, sir. Always a pleasure to be with you tonight, Phil. You keep asking when am I going to show up to the house. We'll just see how COVID keeps going. But anyway, tonight, I do want to introduce a very special guest tonight, Lieutenant Charlotte McKee. Charlotte, are you with us tonight?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Hi. Charlotte has been an officer now for how many years, Charlotte?
14 this year.
14 years. And we're going to talk a little bit about with her about that, her experience a little bit. But before we do that, let me, Phil, just talk about something I've gotten a lot of questions about in the last 2 weeks. So our rules and regs run from like a middle of July through August, mid-August. And so the rules and regs from last year will actually cover some things in August, you know, the next year, except the dates in it are not always what people think. Let me be very clear here. So the youth deer day last year was August the 8th. And so in the rules and regs that are out right now from last year that have been out for a year, it says the youth day is August 8th, but that's August 8th of 2020. We're in 2021. The youth day for game zone 4, or any of the game zones, matter of fact, is always the Saturday immediately before the season opens up. So this year, the youth deer day is August the 14th for game zone 4. And game zone 4 is Sumter, Clarendon, or two counties in that. But in game zone 4, it is it's August the 14th, and it's only antler deer, limit of one. So, you know, a child can go with no, an adult can take a child, they don't have to have a license. A young person, again, youth day is for 17 and younger, anyone 17 years old and younger. And so it's an opportunity to give someone an early shot at a deer. It's kind of funny because we have one of the longest deer seasons in the country, and it's hotter than if it's like last week. It will be miserable, but there it is. It's an opportunity to take someone deer hunting without tags, without a license. That is the beauty of it. They don't have to have a license, and the person taking it doesn't have to have a license either. So that's our youth day, and that's August the 14th. So if you have a rules and regs, and it says August the 8th, you're looking at last year's rules and regs. So the youth day this year, again, is August the 14th. So just want to clarify that. And before we get going, one more little update. I know folks are always wanting to know what the fishing's doing around the state. Give a little update on the coast. I know from personal experience I had a great time Monday. Fishing for sea trout, speckled trout, really caught a lot of fish, had a lot of fun. So trout are out there. Talked to our director, Robert Boyles, and he was pleased that, you know, he used to be over our Marine Center, so he has a lot of knowledge about saltwater, and just said that last year was a mild winter. So during mild winters, our speckled trout population really does well, and so they have a lot of survivability, don't have a lot of kill from a real cold, didn't have real cold water. So if you're fishing on the coast, speckled trout are biting. I would suggest using a DOA shrimp or the voodoo shrimp or a popping cork is a great way to fish for them. You can always use live bait. But first time I ever used popping cork and DOA shrimp together and had a lot of success, a lot of fun, and ate fish Monday night, and it was really good. So that's my story for fishing for the week. But I do want to introduce Charlotte. Charlotte is a lieutenant with – in our staff operations section. Charlotte is responsible for part of EMD, our emergency management division. She also is over our radio room and our radio equipment and sticks, our supply area. She has a lot of responsibilities. So Charlotte came in, like you said, 14 years ago. Charlotte, you went to Florida State, right?
Yes, sir. Go Seminoles.
Oh, here we go, Phil. Here we go. I knew somehow.
Hey, Charlotte, do you want to join the SEC, huh?
No, I want to stay in the ACC.
Okay.
But she was rooting her Seminoles on during this college, the Women's College World Series. I can promise you that.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
So Charlotte started here. She's had a really interesting career. Charlotte, tell everybody, where did you start? What county did you start in?
I started as a rookie in Chester County, and I did the beginning of my career in Chester, where I still live now.
Okay, and Charlotte, you know, what I kind of want to bring Charlotte on to talk about, because she's going to be a frequent visitor on the show, may I add, Phil. She might be the new star here one day.
Oh, no.
But she is.
Whoa. Is that a hint? Is that some sort of is that subliminal?
It could be a subliminal hint. She's doing a lot of good stuff for us.
Nobody can fill your shoes, Major Downer, so I don't know about that.
Oh, yeah, here we go. No, but Charlotte's doing a lot for us in the realm of social media for our law enforcement division, and that is it's been something we've been sorely lacking in, doing a really good job putting information out there in a way that today's young people and today's people, today's world can see it. So that's really, she does a really good job with that. But again, Charlotte, we were talking about last time on the show, hiring new officers, and I was talking about, you know, the good old game warden that they used to hire 20, 30 years ago. We're not necessarily hiring that because it's a different job now. And so there's a lot more opportunities for folks out there. Charlotte, you came from out of state a little bit. And you are, you know, one of a small group of ladies who are in our ranks who do a really good job. Tell us what interested you in becoming a game warden. Why'd you want to be a game warden?
Well, I grew up in South Florida, so obviously a different environment than South Carolina. But from a young age, I absolutely loved being outdoors. And when the time came to start looking at careers, I knew I didn't want to sit behind a desk, and I was super passionate about conservation. And, you know, the stars kind of aligned, and I ended up in South Carolina, and then shortly after, just they were hiring. And so I got really lucky in getting a career with the Department of Natural Resources.
So, again, Charlotte's a natural talker. I'm going to have to probably get her to slow down a little bit. She'll start going. She'll out-talk me. I know it's hard to believe. But Charlotte has done some interesting things in her career. Charlotte was one of another select group of few officers who get chosen to be on the governor's detail. So she helped protect the governor. Charlotte, how long were you on the governor's detail?
I served Governor Haley for 5 years.
5 years. So she did a pretty long stint. That's over one, you know, as you can tell, 5 years, that's over one time, as far as one term as a governor. Mm-hmm. And it is for us as an agency, we're proud to have officers like Charlotte serve there, because it puts someone in the governor's office who's a game warden. They don't necessarily dress like a game warden. Charlotte was a whole lot prettier in that office than in the old green. She had on nice, you know, business suits and doing her job, looking professional like a Secret Service agent, so to speak. But there, Charlotte, describe what you did day in and day out in that job.
The task over there is the security of the governor and the first family. And so every day when I served the Haleys was a little bit different, but a lot of travel to and from the state house, what we call advance work, where anywhere that the governor is going that day for various events, we're responsible for securing the facility and the site ahead. You know, just like Major Downer was saying, similar to a Secret Service role, but obviously on a much smaller scale at the state level.
Yeah, and so Charlotte got to travel a lot, and others. It's not just DNR. We have there's troopers that serve on that. There's SLED agents that serve on that. We kind of share that role together. SLED kind of runs that team. Our South Carolina Law Enforcement Division runs the team, but we have members from those three state agencies on the team, and it's great for us to have good representation. And that's one of the reasons people might ask, well, why is a game warden on it? Well, long time ago, back in the Beasley days, and even before that, and Carol Campbell days, he liked to hunt a lot. So having a game warden on staff was good because he could kind of help him in the field and knew about the outdoors and things. It's kind of changed since then. It's just really having a representation from some of the larger law enforcement, state law enforcement groups. And so, again, we're proud to have Charlotte part of that. She got a vast amount of experience there that you just don't get anywhere else. And there's a lot of folks, including our colonel, that were on the staff way back when, so on the governor's team. So it gives you a little bit of experience in a different realm. And it's things that probably people, most people don't know, that even game wardens, that we have game wardens on the governor's team, the details. So we're proud to do that. We have three officers on it now. Again, it's just an honor for us to have people there to serve the governor and to serve the state of South Carolina in a little bit different capacity. Then Charlotte left the governor's detail, and I talked her into coming back in a green uniform. And she laughed because I did. And she headed up our archery in schools program. You know, Phil, we've talked about that over and over again, mm-hmm. how popular archery in schools in. You know, 40,000 kids in the state shooting archery, maybe more than that now, Charlotte. And Charlotte took that program that was already – we had a really good program. She took it and just made it even better. Really pushed in there with scholarships for our state tournament. And again, so Charlotte just kind of – she was in the field. She was on the governor's detail. She ran one of our huge outreach programs. And then she was selected to be lieutenant in staff operations over EMD, Homeland Security, and some other roles. Charlotte, a little bit about that role now – I could tell it, but I want you to kind of tell it. What is it, the role that you, what do you think you do today? How about that?
I put out fires all day long. You know, even I didn't understand the full realm of our emergency management and homeland security needs until I took the role on. But, you know, all of our nuclear facilities, you know, those are on water. So we have a large role that the Department of Natural Resources plays on homeland security side of things. And then in the emergency management division, you know, a huge task is hurricane. We serve ESF 16 and ESF 13 roles in times of crisis, being a hurricane. And a lot of planning goes into that in order to be successful in the event of a state of emergency.
Right. So you use a bunch of technical terms that everybody's not going to understand ESF 13, but so our state home, our state emergency management division has different units. ESF 13 is the law enforcement unit, and those are kind of federal nomenclature that we've adopted, so that if there's a national type of event like a hurricane disaster, that when federal partners come in, they are used to the nomenclature we're using, these ESF units, to kind of figure out what pieces are a part of that bigger puzzle. Charlotte, you know, talk about some of the preparations you do on a day-to-day basis. With nuclear facilities, things that people might not even know about, as far as, you know, the drills that we run through, dam exercises, things like that.
Yeah, every nuclear facility and dam, you know, they operate their own emergency management plan, and we play an integral role in that. So probably, I would say several times a month, especially with COVID right now, a lot of these exercises would be happening in person, but we've adopted to doing a lot of them, like most people, in a Zoom or a WebEx style. But we do basically a tabletop exercise, and every facility is doing one of those where you're going through scenarios where what if X, Y, or Z happened? What if somebody set off a bomb at the dam and the dam broke? You know, what would we do? What would our role play? Same thing with the nuclear facilities. Officers in the field are various times throughout the year, the first sergeants and the officers are going out on the lake and preparing as if they were required to go out there if there was an issue at a nuclear facility, and what drill they would play and how they would call for people to get off of the water. And we work through those several times a month, constantly throughout the year.
Yeah, so I think it should surprise people, Phil. We have so much water in the state, but a lot of people don't realize a lot of the lakes we have are used to cool nuclear facilities.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just things that people don't think about. So our officers, of course, are involved in clearing lakes because we have the equipment to do that. And Charlotte's, you know, role in her lieutenant capacity at EMD is to make sure that we are prepared in the event of any emergency. And so she goes through a lot of different role playing with these different events, what ifs, if you will. And especially now, we just went through our hurricane exercise, getting ready for hurricane season. When in South Carolina, we certainly know about hurricanes, and Charlotte coming from Florida, she knows all about hurricanes too. So it's something that we work on constantly. And it's just that part of the job when we talk about what game wardens do that people don't think about. When there's a disaster, our guys are out there because we've got the equipment. We've got the ATVs, four-wheel drive vehicles. We've got winches on the front of the trucks. And people often ask, well, why do y'all have all that? Well, that's why. So when there's an emergency, we can respond. We can move things out of the road. We can get on the roads when they're icy, when it's snowy, when the patrol is spinning out and can't go anywhere. Our trucks can. So that's why we serve in that role. And Charlotte is a part of putting all that together and kind of organizing our role and everything that we do outside of just being regular game wardens. Charlotte, really before we get off tonight, just want to talk about a little bit because we're in the middle of a hiring process. And for those young women out there who may have thought, hey, I could never be a game warden, talk about that for a minute. What was your experience coming in? Try to be positive.
I've actually had an amazing experience at the agency, and you know, you've kind of hit on that. I've had a really unique career. I think I was a little naive. I was very young coming into the agency, and I was the only female in my hiring class. And then when I got to the field, I was the only female in the entire region. And so I didn't know any different, and I just kind of hit the ground running. So I've always had a great experience. I've always had senior officers willing to, you know, show me the way. But I also had a strong core group of women. Previous Captain Swink, who's retired, was one of those who, you know, supported each other. And that's one thing, is we're hiring more women than ever before, and it makes me really excited to see that. And it's surprising. I was actually at a sporting clay tournament, one of our youth events. I'm sure the major has covered those several times on the show. And a young woman came up to me and said, I've never seen a female game warden. And sometimes you forget that you are unique and that people don't normally see a female game warden. And so I'm glad to represent that and answer any questions. And women can do anything that a man can do. I've always prided myself.
Here we go.
Clear the way. I'm getting on my soapbox. But, you know, women can do anything that a man can do. But also that, you know, I've never wanted to be a good female game warden. I just always wanted to be a good game warden. And I think that's important. And I've been afforded so many amazing opportunities at this agency. And, you know, I can't say enough good things. And I hope that more women know that the field is open for them as well.
Sure. And Charlotte, so your background, you said you love the outdoors, but did you hunt growing up?
So that's one of the reasons I loved working for the archery program. I did not hunt growing up. Growing up in Florida, I fished, but I didn't experience hunting until I actually became a game warden. And now I'm a diehard bow hunter. I go out of state bow hunting. I in-state bow hunt. And so it's a level of, you're never too old to find your way into, you know, hunting and fishing and all of the things that the great outdoors has. And so when I was working in the archery program, there were a lot of young men and women who didn't know what was out there for them. And, you know, it's a great opportunity, like our TOMO program, that you can be any age. You know, and I'm not going to lie, I've had this conversation with other game wardens. If you do not hunt and fish, it is a little bit harder to get your footing when you become a game warden, because you're learning that and you're learning how to police it. But if you're willing to put the time in, you're able to accomplish a lot. And so I'm lucky for the people who helped me along the way.
Can I throw something in here related to the great outdoors, but also related to football?
Go ahead.
Yes.
Just saw this note. It's about the starting quarterback or potential starting quarterback at LSU, Miles Brennan. It was reported earlier this week that he had a broken arm. Now I'm seeing a story where it says he broke his arm preparing for a fishing trip. He first thought it was a bruise. It was determined to be a compound fracture in his arm. He now has a metal plate and screws after surgery.
Ow.
So how do you break your arm getting ready for a fishing trip there, Major?
That sounds pretty rough. I'm not sure. You know, either he was messing with the boat and got messed up. But, you know, one thing I want to hit back on what Charlotte said, is she's going to be very humble about, is she competes across the country with archery from a competitive level also. And Charlotte, don't want to go too far with that, but, you know, you and your husband kind of met doing that, didn't you? Did he get you into that, doing the archery a little bit?
Wait a minute. Are we talking about the apple and the arrow here? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, we're talking about target archery. She does competitive target archery, which made her a natural fit for our archery in schools program. But Charlotte, talk about that. And you've got a lot of knowledge in that, just doing competitive archery.
Yeah. My husband owns an archery shop. He got me when we started dating into archery, and I've kind of never looked back. We 3D archery is our sport. So this year I haven't had as much time with my new role, but when we have an opportunity, we like to travel the country and shoot competitive 3D archery. And 3D is 3D animals, just for clarification.
Thank you, Charlotte, for that clarification. I knew you would help us with that. So Charlotte is kind of one of our movie stars. Had a lot of great experience, and I'm just really happy to have her on the show tonight. She's got a great personality and just really good for our division. I'm glad she works for me. But enough about that, because her head will get so big I'll never get her back in the office. But anyway. But social media, let's finish up with that, Charlotte, real quick. Your role you're taking on social media, why is that so important in our job today?
Well, of course, we need representation on social media, but especially the niche that is law enforcement. It's an opportunity for us to show South Carolina what we're doing, you know, not just on what the cases that we're making, but I'll give you an example. Today, I posted an amazing story where officers in Region 4 that had discovered a marijuana field ended up going in after the fact and cleaning up 300 pounds of garbage. The officers went and did that. And had to then, due to the location of this field, load the stuff in boats and then transport it back to land. And people don't know all the amazing things that we're doing. And so one way to put some of that out there is through social media. It's a huge voice for us, and we're starting to use that in a new and unique way.
Absolutely. So those guys actually were doing a litter cleanup as a result of a marijuana bust. So it's kind of, you know, it just went from there, grew a little bit, and you're right. Nobody would know that. I saw the pictures. So if you haven't, look.
Yeah.
If you're not, Charlotte, how do people follow our SC Game Wardens?
So you can go to on Facebook or Instagram. And on Facebook, it's South Carolina Game Wardens is our Facebook page. So please go like and follow us. And it's the same on Instagram.
Okay. Well, Phil, it's a little bit different show for us tonight.
No.
Again, I'm just happy we had Charlotte here with us to talk a little bit about that.
One more question for you, Major. What have you been cooking throughout this entire half hour?
I am busy cooking some deer meat for tacos tonight. How about that?
Oh, it's...
Doing a little outdoor cooking.
It's Wild Taco Wednesday.
It's Wild Taco Wednesday. That's it.
Yeah.
Wild Taco Wednesday.
Phil,
that's it.
Phil, have you had to have any of his pound cake? Because he makes amazing pound cake.
Does he really? The only thing
I've had
from the Major, let me think now, I've had deep fried alligator, and I've had dove wrapped in bacon.
Yep.
That was absolutely delicious. And what else did you make that night? You made deep fried
alligator
bites.
Dove. It was alligator and dove. That was it.
Yeah.
Them both.
They were both.
That
I mean, that was,
night.
You know, alligator, Charlotte, tastes like chicken.
It absolutely
does.
Here
we go.
better eat it than it eat you. That's the way I look at it.
Well,
Charlotte, you'll learn.
Make you pound cake.
If you do, Charlotte, I'm going to kill you later for that. But anyway. Charlotte will learn, Phil, on this show, there are two things we always talk about, alligators and sharks. Somehow, they always end up coming up in the show.
Indeed.
So,
okay.
Hey, thank you both. It's been great. We've enjoyed it.
Thanks, Phil. Thank you for having me. Thank you, Major.
You guys take care. Thank you, Major. Talk to you in a couple of weeks. And thank you, Charlotte. Good luck out there. Thank you, Pat. Thanks to all of you for being with us tonight here on Sports Talk. Media Day at USC tomorrow. All covered for you here on Sports Talk. See you then.